Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Remembering where we are in this third chapter, we in a section began in verse 18, which is called the motivations and principles of the Christian life. I shouldn't say it very, all the way back in verse 12. And this is what we're looking at in the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Colossae. He's telling them what has really taken place in their lives. He's reminding of what God has done through the very salvation in Jesus Christ. He expressed to them they are not the same people they used to be, that they're entirely different. They're new men and women in Christ Jesus. The old self has been put to death. Though it lingers, we carry it around, which is the body. But we as Christians, we're new individuals. And he's saying now, since that has taken place, you live differently. And you don't live by your own desires and what the flesh tells you to do. You're living by what the Holy Spirit now is doing, because he has taken up residence in you. Jesus Christ himself says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will be in you and I will be in you also. So Jesus is saying here that through the Apostle Paul that what has taken place, each and every individual, each and every Christian should understand that he or she is a different individual now. You're not the same. Yes, the old flesh grabs and try to cause us to go into sin. But Jesus is telling us through Paul here, it has no power. And he's indicating that the only way it will have no power is that we have to understand that and live that way. And we'll find ourselves able to destroy and defeat the works of the devil in our own bodies. So as we come to this point of motivations and principles of the Christian life, we're looking at what Paul now says after he's given a lot to us through the first very chapter of 1 and going on to verse 1 in this chapter and all the way down. He shows all the things that have taken place spiritually in the life and how we change now because of that spiritual change. But now he says there's something that we're going to see the effects of this. And that is because God himself is working in us and we ought to see the progress of it. You and I know that we can see if we move through different climbs of life and different phases of life, there would be something that we as evidence that a new phase has taken place. And that in most cases would be everything that we will see and understand. Sometimes we feel and we know as you are a particular, you're a little boy, a little girl, you grow, you become a young man. There should be something that proves that there is this difference that is made, this progress that is made also. Paul comes into a very section here where he goes off and says, now, progress must be seen in the Christian. And he is actually stating that it will be seen if we know how to live according to what has been given to us. As you work through the book of Colossians, we are focused upon the third theme, which I indicated, motivations and principles of the Christian life. The theme we are presently looking at is strengthening family relationships. You know, it's a sad thing that people can say that they are Christians, they can go around, they can live like Christians, they can spout off all these wonderful spiritual things, but the family is falling apart. Paul says the Christian family is going to be a place where you see the Christian gospel and the work in an entire family. And so he begins. We looked at this last Lord's Day in the section where we are, verses 18 and all the way down to chapter 4 in verse 1. He says in verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, who with external services as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the recompense, the consequence of the wrong which he has done, in that without partiality. And verse 1 of chapter 4, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. In this section, you have it over your Bible, family relationships. Paul is now saying, where is the place that you're going to see the gospel really do its work? Where is the one place it should be? And that should be in the family, is what he's saying. You probably know in the past of some that how many people, they talk about how well that they are living for the glory of Christ and how they live this and that way and so on and so forth. But yet, you look at their families and they're torn apart. I can remember a pastor in the church we used to attend, and everything seems to be so in shape as far as the family is concerned, with the pastor and his wife at church. But then there was some darkness that began to be discovered, and that was in the children. And I remember one of the sons saying, "You don't know him at home," talking about the pastor. Paul is saying here, the family relationships is where you're going to begin to see the real work of the gospel takes place. Now, I submit to you in the beginning, this is a hard area. This is an area where a lot of work has to be done. And only by growth and closeness of Christ that we find the work that truly is being done in this area. Last Lord's Day, we looked at husbands and wives. And Paul says there, the important thing, he looks and he takes the family. He goes to the head first. He looks at those who are put over the family and how that relationship must be in a certain way in order for it to be able to filter down through the rest of the family. This morning, we pick up children and parents. In verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. As in the first relationship, Paul focused upon the lesser of the relationship, meaning he took the wives first, but the husband has the role over the wives. Now he looks to the children first, which is the lesser. Then he goes to the father later on. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. The exhortation is first given to the children. As seen in the relationship of husbands and wives, the main focus is the Christian household. We must see this. We must understand the household structure during that time of the birth of the Christian church. It was not like the nuclear families of today. Well, we see we got nice families in most cases, but not in all. In most cases, you got a husband and a wife, which is the father, the mother, you got the children, everybody living life, and that's really it. But that wasn't the makeup of the family in those days. The household was made up of minor children and also some adult children. They often included the family business. You know Peter and Andrew, which were fishermen with their father, and also Zebedee and his, Zebedee's two sons, James and John. They were fishermen. They had a business. So this is all taken up so the grown sons lived in the house with the families. And as we will see as we go on, not only that, they had even servants or slaves, as it's called. It's still what it really is in this aspect we find out as we go along. But the household was a place where you had adults in it, and those adults lived in such a way that they were teaching the young people below them. And if you understand and you read through scriptures, you'll find even adult son or daughter was still a child of those who reared the children, and they had some semblance of respect for their grown parents. And even the children themselves, they would live in a way that they would show that respect. So when Paul says here, children, he's saying here that he's looking to those who are now in the family and falls under this category of children. Some households had included in-laws too. Could be a mother-in-law living there also, and some grandchildren. Therefore, this admonition would be applied to adult children as well as to minor children. The admonition has more force when it is considered that the household was changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not looking at any old household out there in the latter days, coming off from a Jewish understanding and having Jewish ways and doing all that they would do as far as under the Jewish faith. But you're looking at a household now that would be now affected by the gospel. Parents, he's saying what you must do. He's saying to children what they must do. Children, be obedient to your parents. Obedient here, the word is really means to obey, to hear, to listen. This word implies a readiness to hear and to carry out the requests of the parents, which includes the sense of obeying orders. The parents, the present tense, of the verb shows that it is a habitual, continual action. Keep on obeying. We know children today, and probably some of us would say we fit in that same category when we were children. Yeah, the parents told us what to do, but if we could get out of earshot or eye shot, we'd do whatever we wanted to do. We wouldn't follow that. And we act like we did everything the parents were telling us to do. But this is not what we're being taught here. Your parents, the word for parents here comes from the word which means generate. You parents, or your parents, it applies to both mother and father in this first aspect. Fathers, so it's not just saying fathers as the male part, it's saying both of you, fathers, those of you, you the ones who had generated these children. Now I'm speaking to you as the couple. Parents, the word pertains here for all those who now have a position over the children. Matthew 10 and 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his children, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You see the word used in different ways there. It is brother against brother. I was going to raise up. And here, Jesus tells us that the parents, the same word used here, they will cause them to be put to death. Romans 1 and 30, Paul says, slanderers, haters of God, talking about how wicked men who become insolent, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. This is the way society is going to slide. Paul is saying, into what now? You will have no longer those who are looking at their parents and who they are and who they have come from and actually have some kind of respect for them. He says, children, be obedient to your parents. Be those who would listen to them. Be those who would obey them. Be those who would follow the words of what the parents have to say. But here, Paul also indicates that there is no limit to this. Be obedient to your parents in all things. All things, that includes the parent-child relationship and embodies God's instruction to the parent-child relationship. Paul is saying here, the child does not pick and choose what he or she wants to follow the parent. He will not pick and choose and say, well, you know what? I don't like the fact that you're trying to impose this upon me in this area. This is for myself. I have a right. to think this way, act this way, do this particular thing. Paul says here, in all things, not in some things, not in the things that you may think is all right, and that you would do those things because they're not too hard on you. And so therefore, you will acquiesce to what the parent says as far as this particular thing. But when you want me to now to pull back some of that freedom that I think I deserve, I'm going to come against you on that. All things. So as Paul is speaking, he says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. All things that includes the parent child relationship that embodies the instructions that is given for the child. Remember, the parent himself or herself, they know what the child must go through. And at least the children can say, this parent of mine or these parents of mine, they have gone through some things. They have found out. They have some scratches and bumps and bruises from life. And I ought to follow them out because they can be a help to me. All things. Remember, dear people, we look at this. This is also, it's a Christian duty. It says in verse 20 again, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. And it goes, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is something the Lord sees, and this is something the Lord has all his attention to. We can speak in some aspect. He knows what the children are doing. He knows how they are living. He knows where they are taking shortcuts and where they're lying and where they're trying to get by with things. He said, this is something that is well-pleasing in the Lord. Well-pleasing here means acceptable. When used in the reference to God, that which God wills and recognizes, it's acceptable to God. It's what God sees and what God says as well. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Chapter 12, excuse me. Romans chapter 12. And here Paul, as he's given truth to the Romans in his letter, and he talked about even service and what you should be doing. And notice what he says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. He's saying here, this is what is well-pleasing to God. He tells an aspect, present your bodies in this way, acceptable to God. And he says, further on, which is your spiritual service of worship. And he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. What is the will of God? That which is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul says here, what should you do and what is taking place when you look at the children? I mean, look at the aspect of what you should be doing as far as listening to parents, listening to them, because it's well-pleasing. It's acceptable to God. God looks at it. God's going to deal with it because of how the child or children live in that household. Remember again, we're not talking about the children of the world. Though they're under the restriction that God give also, but Paul is talking now, since the Christian doctrine and truth have come into the church, families have been changed. And so now he could tell them how they are to act in those lives. We go through the whole Testament. We find that Paul uses everything as his backdrop when he brings this verse to him. But let's look at a little survey. Go to Exodus chapter 20. And notice how this is the word of God. So this is not something that Paul is saying. I remember one of the things that would turn me away from some of the horrible teaching in life in one particular church was that when I told something that had taken place and it was called Paul's doctrine, the pastor told me, that's Paul saying that, not God. But Paul, he says here what he's stating. He lets you know quickly that it is God's word. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And what does God say in the midst of those commandments? Look at verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. He's telling you your days will be given to you by God. You will have those days, for God himself is the one who's going to make sure you live to that later age. Verse 15 in the same chapter. He who strikes his father or his mother, I'm sorry, that's in chapter 21. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man, he goes on. But then he says in verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. God is saying, you don't take up against your parents. And God said, he's the one who's going to deal with the wicked child. When he goes into that, and how about when we go to the Proverbs, how many times the Proverbs are telling us how we must live, and we find out it starts off in letting us know that how God look at and what God considers should be the way we live. The Proverbs are given to us, you know, and he says that here's the things we must do and how we must live. But he says, the proverb, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. He lets you know right off that you and I, living in the world, we must live by the wisdom and instructions of God. Notice what he says in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Does that sound like what Paul is telling us here in the book of Colossians? Now, what should you do, you children? Listen to what God has to say. God is the one who speaks to you. Remember, again, the household has now become a Christian household, and they're living according to the commandments of God. In Proverbs 6 and 20, my son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Now, I don't need to pile up the text here, and I think you know and see. You can run through the book and see that this is really what's being taught. And here, Paul now shows back. He says, now, in this family relationship, he speaks to the children. Now, these are, in most cases, these are saved children. These are children who are, as I indicated, not only probably those who are minor children, but also, at this point now, adult children. And he's speaking to all. The idea of children was something that now, that we have today, far different from what we have. Oh, children raised up in a home today, they'll be so glad to, as it were, to shake the yoke of their parents off themselves and go into the world and live, as it were, like I have nobody. Nobody brought me into this world. I did this myself. Parents themselves, the better truth of it indicates that you came in through parents. And therefore, there should be some kind of connection to parents and even some kind of owing of your life to the parents. But no, wickedness takes them further and further away. So Paul says, children, obey. Be obedient, to your parents in all things. He says, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. This is what the Lord looks at. Paul tells us that obedience to parents is one of the marks of paganism. In Romans chapter 1, turn over to Romans chapter 1. Notice how Paul goes through this, and he's telling us how horrible things has come. And here we find that basically what has happened, that the whole world has turned away from God and what God is doing. But he says, God in his own mercy and grace, his wrath is, although it's revealed upon heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, there's grace that has come. And that grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he goes on. Notice what he says in verse 28 of Romans 1. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Well, what things are you speaking about, Paul? being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Right there. This is what happens when there is no grace in the heart. There's no way they want to look and live for the glory of God. And this is how they live. They want to continue on in that way, in that frame, doing all they can do, living for themselves and not loving for God, don't want to have anything to do with God. And brethren, the world is filled with that kind of people today. But in 1 Timothy, we have a word that comes in the third chapter. You need not turn there. It's a quick word. In the third chapter, it says, he said, things are really going to change. And as we read this at that time, Paul is saying, it's going to change. Terrible times are coming. And we look at it today, we say, are those times here already? It seems like that. Notice what he says, but realize this, verse 1, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Right there. This is not something that is just thrown in and something that we see is just some kind of attached to it. Children must obey their parents because of who they are. You know, it's a wonderful thing that as we looked at the husbands and wives, what we find that the Bible gave to us and showed us that verse, first of all, the wife came from the husband. We look back in the Old Testament, God made man, and he didn't leave him alone. He gave him a wife. Then he structured the family coming. And then we also could look and see, back in the scriptures, that God gave children to the family. The family came out of this wife and this husband all the way down the line from Adam and Eve. You and I didn't decide that we were going to be born. It is almost like right now that children can make up their mind what they want to be because you know what? Nobody had anything to do with me coming into the world. A matter of fact, some people made a mistake when they marked who I am as far as male and female. Where is that coming from? The devil himself. He's the one. Paganism is going to rule this earth. It's going to run across it. It's going to cause children to have nothing to do with their parents. It's going to cause children to come to the place what we see today. Don't tell me what I am. I'll decide. And this thing is getting so horrible that it is actually fulfilling governments. People in authority are now saying, you have to recognize. And even worse than that, I heard on the radio the other day, TV news, that there was some child, about, I think, 8 years old or something, that the nurse in the school took it upon herself to change the identity of that child. Begin to make, I forget if it was a male or female, but to begin to make that person the opposite of what they is. Because the child had to say, I have some problems, I don't know about this or that. And so the nurse says, I can fix you. And you know how it is. And what is taking place. And what we have in this time and what's going on, you can see and understand that it is the wickedness of the devil. It ain't not, nobody has not risen to some wonderful level of really understanding more and more about life. No, it has had nothing to do with that. It is a horrible time. The last days is difficult. And I know there probably was some, even in those stages before us, have said, are we already in the last days? Is this it? The wickedness is abounding all over the place. But it looks like now is worse than it ever has been. And I believe to some degree it is. Like I say to some, if God cast out fire on Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality, what is holding back the flames of the world today? Because you want to make young children abuse themselves with cutting off and cutting out parts of their bodies. That's about the horriblest thing I ever heard. So here, Paul is speaking to them, as Paul says here, now, first of all, children, be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to your parents. Be under their headship, under their rule. Oh, and not in some things, in all things. And he says, and he adds it, because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Dear people, this is something that we should never leave out. Because as we tell people to walk in the ways of God and do what he calls to do, and if we tell children to do the same thing, let us never leave out, because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, I don't believe in God. I don't care. I didn't ask you if you believe in God. I'm telling you what God says. This is well-pleasing to him. And so we find the children must obey their parents. But remember, we're looking at two as it comes together. Husbands and wives and how they will live. And Paul now goes to this and he says, children, obey your parents in all things. And then the next verse, fathers, do not exasperate. Now, in the 20th verse, when he said, children, obey your parents, the word they use, it is what that is over. It could be father or mother. But notice what Paul does now in verse 21. He goes strictly and directly to the father. Here, it's clear that the father is the one who's the head of the household. It's been shown up in verse 18 that he's the one who is over all things. He's the one who keeps things in order. And he does have a headship. And so he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, the word here actually used, it means power, might, lord, master, owner. It is translated fathers here, and it's translated masters. Look down in verse 1 of the 4th chapter. Masters, that is the same word, Greek word for fathers. Grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. So here it's indicated that there is a place that he has over the household. And he's the one who's responsible to what takes place and how the household is functioning. So he's saying, as you now rule over your house, do this. Do not exasperate your children. By understanding their role, he also makes it clear how it must be carried out. It's a duty that must be done in a manner that will have in its control the well-being and godly development of the children. Do not exasperate. The word exasperate means to stir, to anger, to excite, provoke, or irritate. Paul made it clear in Ephesians 4 and 6, speaking of this same matter, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers must create an atmosphere of love and confidence that will make it easy for the children to humble themselves and submit to their authority and direction. Though the Bible makes it clear that the rod of correction must be used in the rearing of children, he also says there must be some care taken to it. Notice what he says, and I'll just read to you. Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 23:13. Do not hold back discipline from a child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Yet it must be used with discretion. The proverb says in 17:10, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. If you've got a child who has understanding, you don't need to go so hard on that one, is what the proverb is saying. A rebuke is probably all you need. You've seen those kind of children. You tell some, you say, look, this is what I want you to do. And you're saying it in nice and kind. It's not really so hard. But it actually smits the child so that he or she is ready to cry. But you have some that you tell them that they're ready to puff up and almost as if they're going to fight you back. Rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. So really what Paul is saying here, or what the proverb is saying, you must know your child. You must know your children. Paul is saying that the parents must not provoke their children. Curtis Vaughn says it this way, do not challenge the resistance of your children. You know, some of that stuff goes on in homes where the father, you know, he feels to be the big shot, so he going to keep on pressing his son until you find out the son is, although he tried many times before, way away from it, going to press him till he gets where now you got an argument going on. Parents must not nag or harass their children. Phillips says it like this, don't overcorrect. If you make the correction, that's fine. We as parents have to know when we've got the word through and then let God do the work of the rest of it. Knox says, parents must not rouse their children to resentment. And it's a shame, dear people, in a lot of homes that the children are the way they are because of the parents. And in some, because of the parents and how horrible they were, the children may be quite different. So we can't say X equals Y in all these cases. But Paul is saying here, or God is saying to us through Paul, in the Christian home, what we are to do is to live in such a way that we guide our children so that they would be those who would live to the glory of God. So that they will not lose heart, he says. So that they will not become discouraged. This reason brings the father into the realm of the concern for his children. The father must deal wisely with his child or children, not being so stern or too demanding, which can break the spirit of a child. The father's goal is to assist in the godly development of his children, if it's a Christian home. But even if they are not Christians, he should do all he can to show his love and concern for the child and aid the child. That's what it should be done. Well, you look at this one, this other relationship here, fathers and children, parents and children, we can say it that way. And how is it to be lived out? I think we can see, understand some things from this. This relationship is in the Christian home and displays the work of God in the heart of believers. Parents must understand how to biblically rear their children to the glory of God. First of all, understand what and who they are. Now, we know our unconverted children are not going to accept everything we give them from the scriptures. God made you. God is the one who's done all things. God is the one who's taken care of you. But we have to look and see that, yes, it is God's word that causes them to see and understand who they are. But I think there is even something other than that. We ourselves must think about who we are. Remember, in some cases, parents are still children to their parents. And the thought about what they have come through as children ought to help them to be better parents. But I believe the biblical aspect of it teaches us even more. Notice it with me. Turn with me to Psalm 139. And here David the psalmist indicates what a wonderful life he has, or I should say, all that God has done, bringing him into the world. And God could say, remember, Adam was first made and then Eve. And Eve was made from Adam. And now Adam and Eve have children. These children came from their parents. And if it wasn't done that way, the child would not understand who they truly are. But David shows us one thing he says about himself and who he was. He looks back before he even began. Notice in verses 13 down to 16, "For you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me." Here, David is saying that he sees himself. He looks back. He knows what God has done. God was the one who actually made him. And who he is right now was all that God has done and brought to him. David the man can thank God for the way he was created by God. "For you formed me in my inward parts." Everything that it is of me right now, you did that. And you did that while I was in my mother's womb. That should make all of us see who we are as children. We come from our parents. And what God has done with us and brought us into the world. He didn't make any mistakes with us. Sin, sadly, sometimes entered in a short time early on in life and caused some to go astray. But Paul, David could say here, God, you were working. If some children would understand that they just didn't fall off a rock, the stalk didn't bring them and drop them into a family, but God made them, God could use that to change the way they think. If a child understands what God has done, that would make them a better person. Every gift, David says, and ability was worked in him by God before he was born. Look at verse 15. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." And he says, you did that. Everything that I am right now, you did it. And the path of his life, he says, was planned out before he was born. Verse 16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me." David is saying, the days that fall out in life right now for me is just something that's going on by chance. They are all coming out of me by the work of you, the living God, and what you have done for me. How you have done and what you have done in me. And here we say the father should think of that. And I think we as fathers should think of that. We look back. Look to your own mother and father. Look to what God brought to bring you into the world. And look how God was superintendent all over all of it. And that will cause us to even look back at our family, parents, if they're dead, even if they're still alive, and look differently. I would not be here if it wasn't for them. I came through them. God was the one who brought me to them. And that brings into a place where you can say to that verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents. If we have another thought about the parents and how and what God used them for to bring us into the world, we can say, no chance here. No mistake here. This was God's plan. Here I am. And what should that do for us as parents? First of all, indicating, understanding, and knowing that we were children. Now, through the grace and power of God, we have been made fathers and mothers. What are we going to do? And this is what Paul is saying here. In the Christian home, do all you can to know that God's gift has been given to you as a child. Do all you can with those children given to you that you will make sure you do and live and show them the Christian way of life. Yeah, some of them may not be saved. Some of them may have already left the house and don't want to have anything to do with it. But still, we can still say, Lord God, what you have done. Oh, there's times when parents get to the place and say, the son is wayward. He's gone. There's nothing else I can do. I might as well just stop praying for him or whatever. I say no to that. Remember the prodigal. Father, give me everything that goes to me. I want my part so I can go out and live my life the way I want to live it. And my whole idea is to get drunk, have fun, and so on. Till he went to rock bottom. But what was the father doing when that son went away? He would go out and look and see if he see him coming back. And that's what I think we ought to be doing with our wayward children. They may be close by us. We may have contact with them. But we have to see that they're almost in the far country. And we plead and have mercy. God, help me to do what I can do. To intersect in their lives whatever way. Sometimes they don't want you to call them. They don't want you to write them. They don't want you to do anything. But we can pray. We can continue to pray. And I think what Paul is saying here, fathers, mothers and fathers in both situations, don't give up on that child. And we must consider how we are living as children of God ourselves to really understand how we are to cause our children to live in a faithful Christian home, if God should save them. Brethren, the apostle brings it right down to the nitty-gritty. What are you and I thinking? What are you and I saying? How are we speaking to one another? How are we speaking to, now we all adults could be, how are we speaking to adults, speaking to adult parents, speaking to adult children? How are we doing? Are we still trying to ramrod the ideas into their head? Well, we understand that God has done a lot in this child of mine. And I could see him or her and the grace that has been brought to them and how they're living. And so Paul says here, you know what? All that we say in this third chapter and even back to the first chapter is going to be seen as we live out our lives in our homes. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your mercy and grace upon us. Lord, we can see there's so much to learn, so much that you need to give us. And we pray that you would help us not to be those who would say, we got it all right, figured out. But let us be, we are like humble children even right now, still learning how to be the children of God. How to be those who would walk before you humbly. And even as the apostle could tell us, through the words here that children ought to be obedient to your parents. How about us in our obedience to you, O God? Is it half-hearted? Is it shoddy? Is it doing what I want to do because you are out of mind shot or earshot as we would think? As we were with children, we probably did those things that we got away with because we weren't seen. Father, this old flesh will make us think that we could do the same with you. We can do it and you don't notice it. Or you won't be as hard on us. But, oh, Father, we pray, change our hearts, oh God. And let us see ourselves as children serving you. And then let us understand how to be better parents to children. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name.